This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckabee. Thanks so much for listening, and I trust you followed all the drama this weekend. How there's suddenly an asterisk and some fine print next to the "Give me your tired, your poor" message greeting immigrants at the U.S. border. Seven countries were abruptly excluded from the immigration protocols, and people from Yemen, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Iran, Sudan, and Somalia found themselves excluded unless, in some instances, they were Christians.
We're going to have a very, very strict ban, and we're going to have extreme vetting, which we should have had in this country for many years.
This is something that 75-80% of Americans out there agree with.
You know, if you were a Christian in Syria, it was impossible, very, very tough to get into the United States. If you were a Muslim, you could come in. But if you were a Christian, it was almost impossible.
United will never be defeated. The people.
Now, this decision did not go down well for thousands of people who spontaneously showed up at airports and elsewhere around the country.
No fear. Muslims are welcome here.
They were already underwent extreme, like, background check and all those stuff.
Refugees are welcome here. No hate. No fear.
Or in demonstrations on the lawn right outside the White House.
I'm a Muslim. I wear a hijab, and walking around the street, it just makes me wonder, like, you know, what are people thinking? Like, when they see me, do they feel like I belong here? Do they support me? Do they not support me? Which is why being somewhere like this where people are holding signs saying, like, today we are all Muslim, like, just it brings tears to my eyes.
Stand up, fight back.
Actually, I've been feeling pretty awful. And I was starting to feel very powerless. I had a nightmare last night. I've been having nightmares since this election. Even though I know that as an American citizen, I may not be immediately at threat of persecution, it feels very personal. I have never felt like this in my 30-plus years in America.
There were supporters of all this as well. This man spoke to The Takeaway's Todd Zwillick in Washington, D.C.
My name is John Wells from Slidell, Louisiana. I'm here on business.
What does your hat say, sir?
It says make America great again. You know, what is a refugee? What I understand the executive order says is that it requires vetting from certain areas, okay? And that sounds to me like more of a national security issue. Now, frankly, I was a little amused to see that one of the first guys detained was somebody who had actually worked for the United States, and that executive order does need some work and needs to be get some mid-course corrections. But it doesn't matter, because in the end, the people who supported Secretary Clinton are not going to accept the results of the election. And I think if the president had welcomed somebody with open arms, they would have still been against it.
Behind the scenes and away from the demonstrations, courts issued a stay to part of this selective immigration ban. The White House did some quick clarification. Some customs agents declared they would ignore the courts. The Congress declared its outrage and disagreement on both sides of the aisle. And so now, how is someone to know, citizen or not, if they are permitted into the United States? Eliza Klein, attorney and former immigration judge, how do you know? What do you know?
Well, I think it's an unprecedented time when the judiciary has declared acts of the Customs and Border Patrol to be in violation of constitutional protections and likely to cause significant harm to individuals, and for legislators and senators to appear and for the Customs and Border Patrol to refuse to speak to them and to refuse the judicial order.
Legally speaking, if we have certain people in the United States, you know, out in huge numbers opposing this, other people who are applauding this, certain officials of the United States government defying the courts saying something else, the White House saying something else, and Congress saying yet something else, I mean, this is a level of chaos that I don't think I've ever seen.
And I think you're correct on that. And I think it is intentionally inflicted by this president, who I believe is deliberately inflating the cultural tensions that exist.
Now, let's pull out the cultural tensions, because it would seem that that is one real distinction here between this action and other actions that have been taken by other presidents. I mean, let's just not forget that President Obama did the same thing on Iraq for a period of weeks. Jimmy Carter did this in the middle of the hostage crisis for Iran. How are these actions which presumably had similar effects, different from what's going on right now?
Well, presidents have frequently used certain provisions under the immigration laws to limit certain people from certain countries from entering the United States. This has normally been in reaction to some particular information or knowledge that has been imparted to the executive.
And that's the case with the Obama incident. They said that there were specific threats that they were responding to.
That's correct. And that is not the case here. What is the case here is that this president is taking, through this executive order, the initial steps to rewriting the immigration laws. And the immigration laws need to be rewritten through an orderly process.
If we go back to Carter, there was no specific threat. There was the hostage crisis that was a huge, I mean, disruptive event in American history. But it did appear as though Carter's ban on Iranian immigration was a punitive act, not an immigration restriction that would be carried out to protect the United States, if you know what I mean.
It was a punitive act. I think one difference is that it was an extraordinary situation at the time. Individuals from Iran who were in the United States were allowed to remain. They were not kicked out of the country. And in addition, it was, you know, due to the hostages being held, which we don't have anything similar going on at this time.
So let's go back to the original question. If you are, you know, stranded at some airport in, Frankfurt, you know, what would your advice be to that person?
So it depends on who the person is and what, you know, their right is in terms of coming to the United States. A green card holder should be allowed on an airplane to get to the United States.
And that seems to be the modification that the White House made. The green card holders are going to be allowed in the initial case. That wasn't the case.
Well, people who are returning to the United States who are permanent residents are not considered to be applying for admission to the United States ordinarily. There are specific provisions within the Immigration Act that allow them to be considered applicants for admission. So they're not supposed to be subjected generally to heightened security or enhanced interrogation. The administration has not backed off of that. They are saying that if you have traveled in and out of one of these seven countries, you will be subjected to enhanced interrogation. Those people who have green cards are entitled, even if Customs and Border Patrol believe that they're inadmissible, to a hearing with an immigration judge to determine if, in fact, they're admissible. Now, whereas many other visa holders don't have that same right.
Right.
What everybody does have, you know, who arrives at the border is the ability to request protection from persecution or torture. And it's somewhat of a limited right at the outset. They can ask for a credible fear interview. And they can be detained until the asylum office is able to complete that process.
Now,
so the advice to somebody stranded at a foreign airport really depends on the type of documents they have and their contacts in the United States. One issue is that they're, for the people who are coming here, even if they themselves have never set foot in this country before, let's say they have been given refugee status, until they're actually admitted, you know, they don't have a legal right to be in the United States. But many of those people have family members who are here who are desperate to reunite, who may be ill and need help. Many of those people who've been given refugee status, especially from these seven countries, have been given refugee status because they themselves are the victims of the same terror and inhumanity that we're trying to protect ourselves from. And you know, many of them additionally have been of tremendous assistance to the United States. And it's just a disgrace to turn them away at this point.
We wouldn't call this due process, but it is the sort of process that we're becoming accustomed to here. There's a tweet out of the Trump office right now about all of this that I want to read for you in a moment. But before I do that, let me just, why not Saudi Arabia? Why not Pakistan? What do you see in the choice of nations here? Does money get you around this ban or something else?
Well, I think this initial group of seven countries were designated previously as countries of particular concern, and that it's easy to select those again as a test balloon. none of these countries have significant banning individuals from these countries does not, on its face, I think, cause threats to business dealings. So, you know, maybe the cynic in me says maybe there's self-interest here.
Right. And I mean, we have enough evidence on these other countries that we might as well, you know, based on the fact that Timothy McVeigh carried out the act in Oklahoma City, ban white males with guns at airports. I mean, that we have the exact same amount of evidence of a threat there.
Well, I think the issue here is that there is a religious war going on. The fact is that this administration is using whatever it can to promote that religious war. I do not believe that this is geared towards protecting individuals in the United States already, citizens or anybody overseas. And in fact, I think it's going to make things more dangerous, especially overseas.
All right. Here's what Donald Trump says. The president says via tweet, there's nothing nice about searching for terrorists before they can enter our country. This was a big part of my campaign. Study the world, he says to critics. He said of protesters and the tears of Senator Schumer, Secretary Kelly said that all is going well with very few problems. Make America safe again. And then his major point of this tweet is only 109 people out of 325,000 were detained and held for questioning this weekend. Big problems at airports were caused by a Delta computer outage. He's saying this is no big deal. As a legal scholar and as a former immigration judge, what's your assessment?
Well, my assessment is people are being harmed in this, and the harm will be long-lasting, and in some cases, you know, people's lives are at risk. We are taking people who have really sacrificed themselves in many ways to try to get to the United States and have been deemed admissible, and we're treating them as if they are criminals by simply trying to apply. And this is disorderly. The instructions to Customs and Border Patrol officers have not been clear enough for them to be consistent across the board. There is disrespect for the rule of law. There is disrespect for the judiciary. I think it is incredibly cynical and an outrage.
Eliza Klein, attorney and former immigration judge, speaking to us from Chicago. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.